Community Voices with Ron Holland.
In-depth analysis, thought-provoking, and hard-hitting.
Community Voices with Ron Holland.
Giving you an opportunity to share what's on your mind and in your heart.
Community Voices with Ron Holland. On Praise 100.9 and 92.7, Charlotte's Inspiration Station. And a good morning. Welcome to Community Voices. I'm your host, Ron Holland. We have another provocative show for you today. Yet again, another grand jury has rendered a decision to not indict a police officer for the killing of a black man. This time, as most of you know, it's in New York on Staten Island. And of course, the decision by this grand jury on Staten Island has sparked outrage and disdain for a system that seems to cheapen the lives of black men in this country. It's with the grand jury's decision in Ferguson only just a week ago. It appears there is an insurmountable obstacle that stands in the way of justice when it comes to African Americans, particularly black men. And I've been talking about this for months on end. Time and again, black mothers, black sisters, black wives, black children having to bury their brothers, their fathers, their sons at the hands of the police, at the hands of thugs in our country. Seems to be no end to this. Eric Garner was choked to death by a New York police officer. A chokehold that I want to remind absolutely everyone that was banned back in 1993. I remember I was in New Jersey and I was participating in a bevy of marches and demonstrations around police brutality at the time. And I am telling you, this is absolutely stunning to me. Video capturing the life of a black man being choked from his body. Black man simply killed because he insisted he committed no crime and therefore he wanted to be left alone. Accused of selling loose cigarettes, and he loses his life at the hands of a thug with a badge. That's the bottom line here. And it's crazy to me that there is not more outrage about this. But as is always the case, thugs with a badge who roam and patrol our communities looking for an opportunity to exert control snuffs out a life simply because they can. And this so-called justice system of ours proves yet again that they can get away with this crap. Of course, this latest injustice is heavy on my mind and my spirit, and I suspect that many of you are equally disappointed. You're equally outraged. You're equally saddened. And there is a rage bubbling in your spirit about what to do about all of this. Because this, my friend, is despicable. This, my friends, is an affront to the notion of equal protection under the law. This, my friends, is an outrageous display of a disregard for black life in this country, especially the lives of black men. And I want to be clear about what I am saying. There is a disregard for the lives of black men in this country. It's got to stop. And certainly our prayers go out to Eric Garner's family, his wife Esau Garner, to the family of Mike Brown, Leslie McSpadden, and Michael Brown Sr., and all of the families around the country that is right now bearing an unbelievable weight, an unbelievable grief at the senseless and unjustified killing of their loved ones. This system of ours, our grand jury process, it's fraught with inequities. It's fraught with inequality.
in the dangerous precedent set by these two grand juries in New York and in Ferguson. It is a message they are sending to every rogue thug with a badge, every bully with a badge. You can kill a black man, whether on camera, in broad daylight, or on a darkened street, wherever. There will be no legal repercussions or consequences. That is the message that is being sent right now. The grand jury system, with prosecutors who are emphatic about not charging, not indicting, not prosecuting police, have sent a clear message, my friends, that the lives of black men are not important, that our lives are devalued. That's the message that is being sent. I don't care who's on the grand jury, whether it's white, black, is it Hispanic, whether it's a mix. The message that is being sent is that our lives don't matter in this country. It's just despicable, my friends. Even if these killings or excessive force or instances of police brutality are captured on camera, there are no consequences here. What is this? When crimes are committed by black men, or any citizen for that matter, charges and indictments are almost immediately forthcoming. Immediately. And what we witness here is the denial of equality with regard to the criminal justice system. What we wanted here with Eric Garner, with Michael Brown, with Tamir Rice, when there's a grand jury convened, what we want, what we demand, what we deserve in these instances is not for feckless prosecution, not for prosecutors to circumvent justice by using the grand jury system to obscure their agenda to not prosecute these thugs with a badge. We want the legal system to be equitable. That's what we want. That's what we demand. We don't want a system fraught with an agenda, with obfuscation of their responsibility. We want a system without prejudice, without inequality. There needs to be standards. And the federal government is responsible because obviously on the state and local level, it is not happening, my friends. 12-year-old Tamir Rice gunned down in Ohio. A 12-year-old playing with a BB gun, shot to death by a police officer who, now we find out, shouldn't have had a badge in the first place. No questions, no warning, no assessment of the situation. These cops rolled up on that 12-year-old kid in less than 2 seconds, shot him down like a dog. No assessment of the, I understand. Well, there was a caller who said there was a kid playing with the BB gun or playing with the gun. It didn't look real. They rolled up on this kid, didn't give any room, got out of the car, and in less than 2 seconds, they shot him down. What is this? How is it that white kids can play with BB guns? They can play with toy guns. And to be honest with you, they can carry around real guns. And none of them are shot down. But in our community, this can happen and there be no repercussions? You have homicidal maniacs that have gone into schools and killed children, gone into movie theaters and killed movie patrons all over the damn country. White boys with guns terrorizing schools and they are not shot dead? But in our community, unarmed black men can be shot down? What is going on here? Five police officers in the case of Eric Garner. Five surrounding an unarmed black man. One thug officer administering a banned chokehold. The other thugs with badges who were given immunity as a ploy, by the way, to have them focus on one officer, sat on him. They compressed his chest, depressed his breathing. 7 times Eric Garner struggled to say he couldn't breathe, that the thug with the badge choked the life out of this man, killed for allegedly selling loose cigarettes, holding his head down on the pavement with brute force. This got to stop. They murdered this man. The medical examiner was clear. This was a homicide. Folks, this is an outrage. This is sickening. And I've been saying this for the last couple of weeks. I'm tired of black men being gunned down by police, being killed by police, and in this instance, being choked to death by police. I'm tired of black men being gunned down by thugs in our community. I am tired of arrogant, power-hungry thugs with a badge roaming our streets like predators, looking for an opportunity to snatch the life of young black men. Not all police officers are this way. I have to add that. No, I have friends who are police officers doing a wonderful job, both black and white. But existing within their ranks are individuals who are not deserving of a badge, who should not have a uniform, who should not be on the force. Because coursing through their vein is a prejudice, a bigotry, a hatred, a seething disdain for black men. That's what we got on some of our police forces throughout the country. The question that always emerges when this issue comes up, and I keep saying this, it's in my spirit. When are white folks going to get upset by this? Now, we've seen, you know, protests around the country, and to be honest, there is a sprinkling of whites who are absolutely outraged by this. But for the larger community, when we see an instance where a murder takes place on video camera, when are you going to be outraged? When are you going to express frustration that young black men are being unjustifiably killed and our community is being terrorized by thugs with a badge and in a uniform? Because what we've seen, they're quick to harp on black crime, but are silent when the power and weight of the police comes barreling down on unarmed black men, both young and old. And I suspect, as I continue to say, when white boys are senselessly gunned down and murdered and choked to death and tasered by uniformed thugs, we'll probably hear their outrage in a more visceral way. It's always the case here. This issue makes national headlines. You hear about the conversation that, and you can't see what I'm doing, but that quotation, that conversation that we as black parents in the black community required to have with our children. We are required to talk to our sons specifically about how to interact with police. Why are white men not having that conversation? I mean, there's a general rule that you're supposed to respect authority, and I think that is inculcated in all of our children. And I think white parents are doing a robust job in doing that. But when it comes to instances of interaction with the police where it ultimately ends either in the death or the murder, in this instance, of an innocent unarmed black man, they're not required to have these conversations. They are not required to grapple with the fear that men like myself and many others around the country, when we see a police officer, I am tired of having that. And I am telling you, I have arrived at the point where I will no longer fear a damn police officer. And I suspect that there are many black men in this country who feel the same way. I am tired of us having to have that daggone conversation. They are not required to have this conversation. This is real to us. This is not an imagined fear. This is based on years of experience. And it shouldn't be that way. That we are forced to have that conversation with our sons. To me, as I continue to say, this is an insult. This is a violation of my constitutional rights to engage an officer when he is wrong. Now, I've heard many people are talking about what we ought to do when we encounter the police. Yes, show your hands. Yes, you obey the police officer. But I am telling you, the inequity inherent in those statements is that this nonsense is not happening in the white community. When I was back home in New Jersey, I remember how the mob, John Gotti and others, how they ruled New York, and the police approached these folks with a huge measure of respect. They didn't go into Bensonhurst and all those other communities like stormtroopers shooting down white men or young white boys. They didn't do that because there was a measure of respect. So when it comes to the black community, suddenly there is an inequality. They don't have the conversations that we have to have. This is an insult to me. And I've been saying, and all of you remember, just a few months ago when that militia movement started over that rancher down, I think, in Texas, and you had folks pointing assault rifles at federal agents, and there is no response other than yes, sir, no, sir. If you suggest to me, my friends, that white boys are not some of the most disrespectful and criminally oriented people or not involved in behaviors that invite police scrutiny, I have a bridge to sell you. That is the inequity built in this system. That is what is inherent when we talk about the necessity of having conversations with our boys. There is no parity here. The notion of equal justice and equal enforcement in all communities is absolutely a moot point, non-existent. I look at the names of some of the people that were killed. To use a biblical, it's legion. Michael Brown, killed, trying to flee from a police officer, shot 7 times. Tamir Rice, police roll up on him and shoot him down, and all he had was a BB gun, like any other kid, 12 years old, playing with guns that are being sold in department stores all over the country. Eric Garner, choked to death. John Crawford, shot by police as he's talking on the phone with the mother of his children in Walmart, leaning on a toy gun. Jonathan Farrell crashes his car here in Charlotte, North Carolina. Crashes his car, goes to seek help. Individual calls the police. This man is knocking on the door. He's just been in an accident, and he's pleading for help. Police arrive, and he thinks help arrives, and he is shot down like a dog. Sean Bell, about to get married, shot to death. Trayvon Martin, a wannabe cop, kills this kid simply because he is too weak and too feckless to be able to defend himself against a kid who had an absolute right to defend himself against what could potentially have been a predator. On and on and on. And what we are seeing are unjustified shootings and killing of young, unarmed black men by police, and the grand jury process is being deployed as a tool to protect thugs with a badge, using twisted and convoluted arguments couched in legal jargon to let these people off. This is happening time and time again. Why the hell Does negative interaction with police almost always end in deadly force, excessive use of force, brutality, and exertion of control that makes our community feel occupied by stormtroopers bent on exerting their control and their will over us? This has got to stop. When are the lives and the humanity of black people going to be respected and valued in this country? When? That is the question that is at the forefront of my mind. Case after case after case, it is abundantly clear that the police are not interested in protecting and serving our community. They are there as an occupying force, bent on harassing, terrorizing, and exerting control. And unfortunately, with the power of the state and the ability to cover their sadistic behaviors with police reports and a legal system that gives them the benefit of the doubt instead of the vulnerabilities of our community in which they terrorize, we have no alternative but to rethink how we relate to these people. We are now, my friends, in the unfortunate position of having to protect ourselves from the police. They are supposed to protect and serve us, but that is no longer the case. When an 84-year-old woman walking on a cane can be slammed to the ground by a police officer and blood is trickling from her head, that's not protecting and serving. That's an occupying force. When a woman could be pummeled on a highway by a police officer in utter and complete rage, we've arrived at the point where we have to protect ourselves, not only from thugs and criminals, but from police officers. And I want to be clear about this because social media is replete with examples of police misconduct. And we're seeing time and time again where there are instances where police have used excessive force. And the crowds are gathering around and they are filming all of this. You want to talk about body cams, and I think that is the appropriate way that we should go. But I will tell you, the moment will come when that gathering crowd will not stand by and watch another black man or a kid be brutally beaten. The crowd will not stand by and watch a 54-year-old, possibly mentally ill, get repeatedly punched in the face. The crowd will not stand by and watch the life being choked out of another innocent black man. The crowd will not stand by and film an 84-year-old woman being slammed to the ground as blood drains from her brain. That is going to stop. This is not a threat. I don't want anybody to misconstrue what I'm saying. What I am saying is there is an outrage bubbling up in our spirit, and it is taking over. And there is going to be an instance where the crowd is going to react to the detriment of police and, of course, the crowd. I don't want that to happen, but we are fast approaching this. Because grand juries are allowing these folks to get off. There are no repercussions and no consequences. And this, my friends, have got to stop. There are a bevy of solutions that I do think that are going to help in these situations. I embrace the president's call to equip every police officer in this country with body cams to film those interactions with our community. I think what ought to happen is that special prosecutors ought to be appointed when there is a clear conflict of interest between the prosecutors and the local police departments. There has to be a solution that everyone in this country can accept. There's no way that prosecutors on the ground who have a relationship with local police departments should be involved in the grand jury and paneling the grand jury, involved in that process. A special prosecutor ought to be allowed to come in and handle these cases. Eliminate, in my mind, the grand jury and have preliminary hearings that have adversarial cross-examinations. No more document dumps and police testifying in front of grand juries and nobody cross-examines them. That has to stop. So there are a bevy of solutions, and we're going to talk about that next week. And I believe that there is a way that we can solve some of these issues without having to resort to violence. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'll wrap up the show. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland on Praise 100.9 and 92.7, Charlotte's Inspiration Station. Praise 100.9 and 92.7, Charlotte's Inspiration Station. If you have any comments on today's show, please send me an email, ronholland@radio-1.com or ronholland25@yahoo.com. Also invite you to visit my blog for some insightful and provocative commentary, www.ronholland.blogspot.com. Today's show is also available on our Praise Charlotte website as well as our Old School 105.3 website. Thank you so much for tuning in to this week's Community Voices. I'm Ron Holland. We will talk with you next week.